chapter of Psalms, the 30th chapter of Psalms. Psalms chapter 30. We're continuing our emphasis on being the church, and it's important to be the church, not just come to church, but to be the church means you need to understand what it entails and includes to be an effective part of the church. You've got to know your rights and privileges. And one of the biggest ones, rights and privileges, is that your covenant rights and privileges. You got to know what belongs to you. What are your benefits? What are your blessings? But what is your covenant contents? And so today we're going to focus on the favor of God. Everybody say the favor of God. So we're going to talk about the covenant of favor. Last week we talked about the covenant of prosperity. Previous weeks we've talked about covenant of family life, covenant of healing, covenant of praise life, covenant of peace, covenant of protection. You need to have a basic understanding of how to access and how to appropriate your covenant, the covenant that you've been enjoying to God with through and by the blood of Jesus. And of course, ignorance is not a free pass. Not knowing how to access and appropriate and assimilate your covenant is no excuse, particularly when you've been taught the word. So faith, we said, is your greatest activator of your covenant. So these things have to be accessed, appropriated by your covenant with God. Amen. All right, Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30 says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Now, this is a praise psalm. This is a psalm of praise. And it was a psalm that expressed right up from the beginning in verse 1, the glory of God is commended. Now, we said praise by commendation or commending is when you apply the promises of God to your personal circumstances. So this is a personal circumstance that the psalmist is praising God and thanking God and commending the glory of God because of the blessedness of answered prayer. He's saying, God answers my prayer, and he promises us today to answer our prayers of faith and trust and confidence in him based on his word. And he said, you have not let your foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you and you healed me. That's answered prayer. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. That's an answer to prayer. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. That's an answer to prayer. Amen. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor, everybody say favor, is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Isn't that a good thing? Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, verse 7, by your favor, everybody say favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. And we're going to stop right there, but this whole chapter is a praise psalm. What does that mean? You can praise God with it too. You can thank God for his faithfulness to answer your prayers too. Praise God. So this covenant of favor is something that we all must be aware of and accessible to by the true tenets outlined in this powerful covenant blessing from our Father God. The favor of God is what determines our destiny in life. Every one of us, if you just think and stop and think for a moment, you need God more than anything or anyone else in life. And what God gives you is the blessedness of answering your prayers, meeting your needs, giving you favor for your life. And it's the favor of God that determines our destiny in life. Some people mistake favor for they gave him a favorite, made him a favorite, or gave him a favor, just a simple favor, or it was lucky. He had a lucky break. Everybody say, we should live with the favor of God. So we see from this passage of Scripture that the psalmist, by the Holy Spirit, contrasts the momentary difficulties of life with God's lasting favor for their entire life. Often you find saints of God, dear precious saints of God, that magnify the pain, the peril, the problem. But here the psalmist is telling us to magnify the promise. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. His anger is just for a moment, because nobody likes their kids going through challenges or their family going through trials and tough times and tense moments. But he says, I've got favor. Don't forget it. Now, here's some laws and life principles of divine favor. If you write in notes, take this down. Favor is the shortcut of uncommon and unlimited success in life. Favor is the shortcut to and of uncommon and unlimited success in life. People will think you've got the Midas touch. There's something special about you. But what you can say is simply this: it's the favor of God. I jokingly sometimes, when I'm with my wife, we go to a grocery store, shopping center, I thank God for his favor because I get to park at a good parking spot. And every time I rejoice and thank God for his favor, I'm pulling up to a good, very good parking spot. You know, and especially around the holidays, these HEBs and Walmarts get pretty crowded. But I thank you for the favor of God. Everybody say, the favor of God. So just as I'm pulling in, somebody's pulling out, and that's mine. Did you know I was God's favorite? y'all should have said, me too. You're his favorite. Praise God. One day of divine favor is worth a lifetime of labor. One encounter of favor is worth a lifetime of sweat, toil, and labor. Luke 2:40, it says about Jesus, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's the favor of God, the grace of God. Favor is a grace, part of a component of grace, a big component of grace. We often call it unmerited favor. That means you didn't earn it, deserve it, or merit it. You can't work for it. This is what God gives. He gives us favor, unmerited favor. This is one of the first glimpses of Jesus' childhood. Parents, get a key here. This is what you should be speaking over your children and your grandchildren. That the child will grow just like Jesus. It shows us a snapshot of his future destiny and his greatness. See, when you get to a place of parenting and grandparenting, and if you get to the holy place of great-grandparenting, your words matter. Your words matter anyway, but your words can reverberate a life and a legacy of God's glory and God's greatness on your children as you speak the word over them. And the child grew. You put your hand on your child and my child grows. My grandchild grows. My great-grandchild grows and is strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God is upon him. You commission and command favor upon their life. So their destiny will be great and glorious in this life. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Again, get a clue, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, that you can decree this over your child. Just like Jesus grew, my child grows. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. We all know people sometimes, they're so disconnected, dysfunctional, and disjointed. They're not they're always rough of being around. You don't want your children to be a black sheep in the family or a black spot and never get along, never keep a job, never establish any type of traction or productivity in life. See, this singular summary of Jesus' teenage years, because between verse 40, Jesus was a child, to verse 52, we advanced to his teenage years. And some of us have teenagers around us. This singular summary of Jesus' teenage years says that he increased. Literally, it means this today in 2021, like he advanced. When it says he increased, it means he advanced. Don't you want your children to advance? Your grandchildren to advance, your great-grandchildren to advance. He said he advanced in what? In every area. Mentally, it says wisdom. Physically, it says stature. The scripture says stature. You don't want your kids sickly and calling out sick days. Spiritually, he had favor with God. And socially, he had favor with men. It's painful when you see that, you know, the child can't make friends or be socially adaptable and adept. Amen. See, growing is passive, but advancing is intensely active. You want to see your child grow spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, relationally, and financially. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, when Jesus turned 12, he was no longer just growing. He was advancing. And your words matter, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, because you speak life or you speak death. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. You can speak forth their destiny and destination in God with your words. Your faith-filled words will dominate the laws of sin and death that try to capture and ensnare your child or grandchild or great-grandchild. You've got to be the prophet and priest of your own home. Amen. See, the favor of God helps us grow, go from growing to increasing and advancing to the glory of God. Now, you think about your areas of life, increase in my business, increase in my increase, favor on my job, favor in my business, favor in my family, favor with my neighbors, favor in my community, come on, favor in my relationships. Amen. 1 Samuel 2:26. Here's another example. Sam and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. I'm giving you ammunition. I'm giving you silver bullets. Hallelujah. Job 10:12. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Thank you, Father God, that you've granted me life and favor. Can be one of your daily decrees and daily confessions. For your care has preserved my spirit. I don't care what kind of new variant or virus comes along. Your care of me has preserved my spirit, my soul, my physical body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've granted me life and favor, not death and disfavor. You granted me life and favor. Daniel 1:9. Now, Daniel always fascinates me because I went back and reading it and studying it, and I was like, man, you know, these guys got captivated and, and captured by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were being brought in to learn Babylonian culture. They were Jewish Hebrew children. We call them Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Amen. Abednego. Gotta get y'all to laugh. Y'all looking so serious. Okay. So the first thing they did, you know, they emasculated the men that they wanted to make eunuchs. And Daniel was one of them. But in the midst of that, he did not even betray God. And they took him 3 years of training. They went to a school for 3 years. 3 years they were appointed to train just to learn how to talk in the king's palace and talk to the king. And the Bible says in the midst of all that happening, we could say that he was in a horrible captive situation. It says this in Daniel 1:9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor. May he bring you and I into favor this year and next year. Praise God in Jesus' name. Amen. Into favor next year. And the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So in other words, when they were told to, what to eat, what to engage in, what to learn, what to study, Daniel said, no. I can't. I fear God. Because what they wanted to do was what they call acculturate them or indoctrinate them in that culture of the Babylonians so they would never go back. They would never go back to church. They would never go back to serving God. They would never go back. And we see it today. People go to public schools and public universities and they forget their faith and they forget their focus and their faithfulness and they never go back to God. They've been captivated in their soul in the world culture. But Daniel said, I'm never going back. So don't give me the food. We'll eat pulp and water. And we'll be all right. And the Bible says they were 10 times better, 10 times wiser, 10 times stronger than the other ones because they stayed true to God. But God brought Daniel into favor. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 89:17 says this. You are the glory of their strength. Talking about God and his people. Toward his people. And in your favor, in God's favor, our horn is exalted. In your favor, our horn is exalted. Horn is just, this simply means this. Your emblem of strength, power, and stately grace. You know, the FBI, I went to a couple of meetings with the FBI, and they wanted to go me to go through training, but I was too busy. I can't do it. And they wanted me to learn how to shoot. Well, I know how to shoot guns, but, you know, learn their way and all that whole course and stuff. And I said, nah, I don't want to be a volunteer for the FBI. I just don't have time. But anyway, one of the things they brought out was an interesting study that when they study crime scenes, you know, many of us are familiar with some of the shows they have on TV, which are kind of similar, but not the exact same, but similar of FBI crime scene or whatever. They put up that tape and stuff. They said the reason they put up that tape and those barriers and stuff, because anyone that walks into a crime scene alters and affects that crime scene. Even if you just walk beyond the tape and you go stand in that crime scene area, you affected that area. Well, the same thing with you. When you walk into a company, when you walk into a room or meeting, if you're walking in the fog, F-O-G, the favor of God, you can impact that whole environment. Now, as I've been pastoring for a while, the Lord has graced me and honored me with growing me in areas of discernment and spiritual maturity, in that regard, I can walk into a room and tell what kind of atmosphere it is. I can tell if people have been fighting, if there's strong words or cuss words been spoken. I can walk in and tell if strife's been there. It's not about me being big and bad. It's about the favor of God that you walk in, that you can be pre-warned and precautioned about what you're walking into. Everybody say, thank God for the favor of God. See, the favor of God makes us stronger and makes us more successful. Because the enemy of our soul is always about deceiving us, diluting us, polluting us, and poisoning us with the world's culture, the world's content, and the world's corruption. And you got to be able to discern and distinguish. I don't need to go into that. I don't need to get into that. I don't need to walk into that person and connect with them. Because it teaches you what to stay away from and who to connect to. Everybody say the favor of God. That's how God, that's how Jesus knew who to pick out. That's how Jesus knew who to connect with. He didn't pick any folks that were religious to run with. You know, one of the Latin words for religion, it means back to bondage. And some people go back to bondage instead of operating in the fog, the favor of God. See, favor and singled out Noah in his days. While the whole world perished, he was spared because divine favor exempts the favored from trouble. Now, every one of those folks, there were many folks that were religious, but there was only one family that was righteous during the day of Noah. Could you imagine? We're talking about pandemic. We're talking about global flood where only 8 people got rescued. But the Bible says in Genesis 6:8, New Living Translation, but Noah found favor with the Lord. Favor, divine favor exempts the favored from trouble. You get protected. You get preserved. Psalms, Proverbs 14:9 says it this way, says another aspect of it, says, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Now, if we're going the way of the world, then I would suggest and clearly state that it's foolish. Going with popular culture is foolish. Fools are people who deny God's existence and excellency. Fools are people who disrespect and dishonor God's righteousness and holiness. Fools are people who disobey God's commands and call on their lives. They think, okay, God loves me anyway, but I can just disobey God's command and call. The call must be answered, and the commands must be obeyed. Fools are people who denounce God's word and God's will. They say, we can rewrite the Bible. We don't have to follow the Bible. We can make our own Bible. We can make our own word. See, they were foolish, and they played the fool in Noah's day until the flood came. And everybody came knocking on the door, but the favor of God exempted Noah and his family. And the angels of God would not let any fools in the ark. And when the rain came down, you could imagine, they were calling him a fool for 120 years. That's how long it took him to build the ark. You study it. And the size of the ark was the size of 2 football fields. You know, this football's in its prime end of year season time right now. And, of course, 2 football fields, 100 yards twice with the end zones, and then a football field long. So that's a huge project. 120 years. And God told Noah, do this because I'm going to smite the earth with a flood to get rid of all this wickedness. The flood came so strong, 40 days and 40 nights, it was 18 feet above every other tallest place in the earth. So everything was covered up underwater. Only one family was saved. Why? Noah's called the eighth. And it was the eighth man. And new beginning. So God says, I'm going to begin anew with a man that's found my favor. That's found my favor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, the favor of God, because Noah moved with deep reverence, respect, and honor what God was saying, then prepared an ark, according to Hebrews 11:7. He moved with fear, prepared an ark. Now, to the saving of his family. Now, he prepared an ark big enough to save others, but only 8 followed him. Because everybody else thought he was foolish because he said it's going to rain. You know, historians, I'm not a Bible scholar or historian, but historians say it hadn't rained up to that time. So they didn't believe it. It's just like some people, they don't believe Jesus is coming back. They don't believe Jesus is coming back soon. They don't believe that the rapture is imminent. They don't believe that hell is real or that heaven is real. They're playing the fool. And fools get no favor. See, God's favor prevents dryness, spiritually, physically, relationally, and financial droughts, and anyone from being destined to devastation. God's favor forbids dryness, spiritual, physical, relational, or financial droughts, and anyone from being destined to devastation. An angel showed up on the scene. We know the Christmas story. In Luke 1:28, the Bible says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored. Again, another proclamation and profession you can make over your own life. I'm blessed of the Lord, and I'm highly favored of God. He said, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Who is he talking to? Mary. Of the women on the earth during those days, you can say thousands and hundreds of thousands, God picked out one young lady and said that his favor is what was distinguishing her from the others. See, before the children of Egypt left Egypt, God said in Exodus 3:21, I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, not if you go, when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. Well, let's read what happened in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, it says this, verse 35. And now when the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor, everybody say favor, in the sight of Egyptians, so that they granted them that what they requested, thus they plundered the Egyptians. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in other words, they spoiled the Egyptians, or they plundered them. They took back the back wages from their ancestors. Why? The favor of God. How? The favor of God. Hallelujah. Now let's talk a little bit about the law of favor. So we must understand favor is granted and given by our Lord, and not merited or earned through our religious efforts or religious correctness. As I said earlier, religion is a term that simply means back to bondage. You're trying to earn or merit it. You're trying to say, God, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. And why do we bring that up to God? Because we think that merits something. We want a response from God. We're mad at God. See, the bondage of labor, toil, sweat, fleshly efforts to achieve success or your destiny. But one encounter with favor is better than a lifetime of labor. One encounter with favor is better than a lifetime of labor. Psalms 5, verse 12, it says this, for you, O Lord, will bless who? The righteous. You're already blessed. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. So as born again Christians, as Christ followers, fully committed and devoted to following Christ, we have been declared and made righteous with God, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and verse 21. See, we activate and access God's divine favor by our faith in Christ and faith in our covenant of favor. That means you're supposed to have favor on your job. You're supposed to have favor in your family. You're supposed to have favor in your business. You're supposed to have favor in your neighborhood. You're supposed to have favor in your community. When people see you walking through your community, you going down to the mailbox perhaps, or you walking next door to your neighbor, they always greet you and they always good to you. And God gives you favor so you can touch their heart and reach their heart for him. Every day I do a little reminder app thing that brings up my neighbors every morning at 7 o'clock, 7:05. And usually I'm praying or been praying and reading my Bible at that time. And then at 7:05 or 7 o'clock, that reminder comes up. Pray for your neighbors. And I pray for them one by one. I have their names listed out, and I pray for them house by house, one by one. What is God has given me favor with them. My next door neighbor the other day gave me some brand new device. He bought two of them. He said, "Hey, you want one of these?" "Yes." "Thank you so much." And then he shook my hand and hugged me. And typically he's a neighbor that always fussing and fighting about what's going on in the world, and always got something negative news to give me every time we go out and cut grass or see each other out in the yard. Favor. See, some people don't want to declare or decree favor in their community because they don't want nobody bothering them. I'm going to be closed up in my house. Another neighbor to the other side brought me over a couple Saturdays ago to talk to me, stopped me Friday getting home, and Friday afternoon, he said, "Can we come talk? Can you be tomorrow morning at 10? "Oh, sure, sure." Beautiful home. Went in there. He cried because he needed ministering to. 30 minutes. Everybody say favor. See, sometimes we're too independent and isolated, and we're too insolent, lazy. That's just a word, mean lady. Too lazy to be loud about the favor of God on your life. You got to live out loud, ladies and gentlemen. You're supposed to have favor when you're in the grocery store. I always confess that, and especially when you're spending money on the groceries going up and stuff. And I go into Walmart, and everybody from the manager down, I get to know them by name. And so, "How can I pray for you? What can I do for you?" Favor. So now I come in. You know, sometimes how they understaffed or they have just the self-checkout. I got a few more things that's going to be a little bit challenging, toiling for me to self-checkout. So I just look at one of the workers, and they said, "Come over here. We'll open up a line and check you out." Everybody say favor. Somebody say favor. Favor everywhere you go. Favor it with everything you do. Favor with everybody who's related to you. Amen. Favor in the morning. Favor at night. Favor down the road that you'll see with your sight. Favor. It's not fair. But favor it will be, because it will come from the hand of God and will be delivered every day to thee. Praise God. That's what the Spirit was saying to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. The Lord will bless the righteous, and with favor he will compass around it with a shield. So practically speaking, favor means this. Now let's put some arms and legs to it. It means this, to endorse. Now, what would you think, brother, if God endorsed you? God gave you a personal endorsement. Now, many people think that's big when it comes to your business. If you get a famous celebrity or a big brand name to endorse you, to endorse your product or endorse your brand. But what if God says, I'm going to personally endorse you? Woo! That's favor, friends. That's favor. And then number two, to support. If God said, I got your back. I got your back, brother. I'm supporting you. Me and you are majority. If God be for you, who can be what? Against you. Come on now. He spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all. If he gave me Jesus, he'll freely give me anything and everything I need. Praise God. It means to assist. Now, you down there sweating and toiling and struggling, trying to get things done, and God said, let me assist you. And he brings you heavenly assistance. Who's who? The angels. He told Moses, he said, Moses, over in Moses, he said, I'm going to send my angel, I'm going to put my name in him, so you got my personal endorsement, so when you go out to the wilderness, he said, don't disobey him and don't do anything against the covenant, because my name's in him, and he will smite you down. But you got assistance. You got heavenly, divine assistance at your disposal. Hallelujah. That's favor. Everybody say favor. Number four, to make things easier. You know, God has been so good and gracious to me. You know, in the insurance side of things, they said, you know, you set a record for the fastest to this level and the next level after that. He said, you were the fastest one to get to that level. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm still trying to tie my shoes. But God made things easier. What did Jesus say? My yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. Come on now. Your job should not be toil and struggle where you need, all this time to relax and retreat and go in a hole somewhere and recover. When God makes things easier, you do it without sweat or toil. Or struggle, or stress, or strain. Come on now. We just call it in, and we claim it in, and we watch God go to work, and he goes to work, and he does it with ease and excellence. Praise God. And people come around, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you doing? I got one explanation, F-O-G, favor of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Number five, to provide with advantages. Sometimes we complain so much about being disadvantaged because of this, because of our color, our culture, our lack of education or wrong education or this or that. You got extraordinary advantages with the favor of God. Number six, to show special privileges to. Number seven, to supply with blessings and benefits and benefits. We read it during the offering teaching that, you know, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So when we reap bountifully means to give out of a willing heart. He said, we'll reap bountifully. He said, he'll make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to us in abundance. Favor in my mental faculty. Favor in my emotional well-being and health. Favor, come on now, in my body. Favor in my finances, favor in my relationship, favor in my social networks and connections. Praise the Lord. Favor all around. Because it's God who supplies and it's God who multiplies. Money follows favor. Favor doesn't follow money. Some people say, well, I'm trying to work hard, get overtime, work more hours, get these billable hours, get these things going, blah, 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 blah. And they're working for favor when they don't realize that money follows favor and not favor following money. See, in these verses that we talked about during the offering teaching, 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 11, the Lord shows us the cycle and the circle of favor. Remember, God's perfect and total provision is the one way to displace the fear often that prevents giving and generosity. Why are so many Christians tightwadish, stingy? They get barely enough. Whew, I'm going to get my tithes. That's it. You ain't getting nothing else from me. They don't understand the favor. They don't understand all grace and all sufficiency. Because when God says all grace, he will make all grace comes to you and all sufficiency, that means you have no need of anything. You don't have no worry about anything coming in. That means all grace, every favor and earthly blessing coming to you in abundance and all sufficiency in all things. That means all that is needed is now granted to you, given to you because of the favor of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Christians can rest in the grace that multiplies resources and the opportunity so that all things they will have need. That means you can just live to give. You don't work for a living anymore. You work for a giving. Isn't that a novel concept? You work for a giving. That means I can work and get excited about the income and the increase coming into my hands so I can be a blessing, a benefit, and build up the kingdom of God. I get to give. I get to tithe. I get to sow. I get to share. I get to be generous. Come on now. Because of the favor of God on my life. Somebody say hallelujah. Second Corinthians 8:9. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's great. That's favor. We have an heritage of divine favor. It's part of your covenant, ladies and gentlemen, with God and with through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Psalms 102, verse 13 through 15. We're coming to our last section. We're going to close on. Psalms 102:13-15. It says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. The time to favor her has come. Yes, the set time has come. It is a set time for the favor of God to be operating in your life. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, the set time for my favor has come. Now, there are seven rituals I'm giving to you real quick, so just take notes real fast. Rituals or routines, success routines of honor that grant the favor of God. So you want to always be in a cycle of favor. Seven routines. See, habits and rituals will take you further than passion. You know, some people get real passionate about a thing or cause, and once that cause is ended, their passion ends. But you need to have habituated activity in these areas where you're habitual and ritualistic in a sense. Rituals decide the rhythm of life. When what starts as a discipline becomes a habit, habit is a wonderful and glorious gift from God. Rituals sustain us, comfort us, and stabilize us. The rituals of honor decide every success you will experience with God and man. Rituals of honor. Because God loves honor. He's an honor God. What's the first one? The ritual of reading the Bible. You think it's very simple, but it's really profound. And people don't track very well, oftentimes, in consistent reading and feeding the Bible. Why? Because there are three immediate rewards of reading and feeding and studying the Bible. One, you provide proof of respect in the eyes of God. That means his word is first place and final authority. That means he's the first words you resort to. Not what words on your phone, not words on your text messages, not words from your email, not words from the TV. Come on now, your word, the word of God, the first thing you want to hear, the first thing you want to take in, the first thing you want to assimilate into your spirit, the first thing you need to feed and read is the word of God. And then number two, you attract divine favor immediately because you put God's words first. It's honor. You put honor the word of God as first place and final authority. You wake up with the word. You go to bed reading and reflecting on the word. Number three, the unexplainable place, peace enters your heart. The word brings peace. Great peace have they, Psalms 119 says, that love thy law. How much of the word of God do you read on a daily basis? Do you honor the word of God enough in your daily reading time and feeding time? Number two, ritual number two, the ritual of listening to the word of God. We suggest and encourage everyone to listen to at least 30 minutes of a faith-filled messages every day. That's why it's so important for us to record them, record these online live streams. We record them audibly on our website so you can go back and listen to them. Why? Because messages from God need to be internalized, need to be personalized, need to be visualized, and need to be vocalized. Come on now. What did I say? The word of God that you hear needs to be internalized, needs to be personalized, needs to be visualized, and needs to be vocalized. You need to walk out and say, what did the Lord say to me in that message? When word is being spoken and preached, it's God talking to you. It's God using the voice and the vessel of ministry standing before you to talk to you and talk directly to you. So what did God say to you? And we know faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you're not hearing the word, you're not getting faith from the word. I go back and listen to them. Why? Because it has to be internalized. It has to be personalized. It has to be visualized. It has to be vocalized. And so what enters you determines what exits you. What you hear determines how you feel. If I hear a word from God and I hear the word of God, I'm going to feel peace. I'm going to feel the promise. I'm going to feel his pleasure of his presence. Come on now, because the word of God is being talked to me. It's being sent to me. Ritual number three, the ritual of asking and for and studying wisdom every day. We encourage everyone to read to pray the Ephesians prayers. Ephesians 1 is the first and foremost important one. That God would grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we would know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Come on, you say every day, Father God, I just thank you. I thank you and I ask you in humbly and reverently and in faith for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding, my heart be flooded and filled with light, that I may know the hope of your calling for my life, the riches of your glorious inheritance that I have in Christ with all the other saints, praise God, and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means if you don't know what to do, if you don't know how to do it, if you don't know how to get through it, you got to ask for wisdom. You got to ask for wisdom, and God won't call you stupid or dumb for asking. He won't reproach you and repulse you and reject you for asking for wisdom. I need to know what to do, how to do, when to do, why I need to do this, when I need to do this. Divine timing, direction, discernment comes out of the wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom, let him ask for God. That's one of the prayer requests we need to be asking for and studying about every day. Because Proverbs 4:4-7, particularly verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the primary thing. There's always a key issue to everything that's coming against you. And you need to know, what is the thing I need to deal with first and foremost? Wisdom discovers and discerns that for you. And you learn, what do I need to, the key issue, the root cause of that problem, that pain, that predicament. Pull it up. That's why we don't run in there like a bull in a china shop and just scatter praying and scatter saying. No, we just say, God, I need your wisdom. I need to tap into your wisdom about this. What do I need to do? What do I need to say? When do I need to change? What do I need to... Wisdom. Because wisdom is not a principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. And in all thy getting, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Ritual number four, the ritual of church attendance. Why? Because Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Direct command. And as Jesus' custom was, he went to church and read the Bible. He had a customary ritual of going to church. Why? Church is a life-changing experience. Church services are purposeful and powerful to equip, exhort, edify, and encourage the believers. Church is where you discover the beauty of God and the solutions of your life's bugging questions. You can get answers and solutions to your issues in church. Number five, ritual number five, the ritual of singing and worship. Why? Singing is a command of God. Psalms 100 says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. You know, I'm looking for the day, and I see it ahead, where praise and worship is not, you know, people are muted up and muzzled up, but people are mouthing out their praises. They're singing out their praises. Singing is a command. Some people haven't sung to the Lord in a long time. He said, come before his presence with singing. The Father likes singing. Thanksgiving and singing are both the password and the protocol of the spirit realm, world, or the supernatural. What's the password into the supernatural? Thank you, Lord. Some people say, Lord, I got this. No, thank you, Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You get honor. You get favor. You get the king tilting his scepter towards you. Say, come here, boy. Come here, son. Come here, daughter. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But you got to know how to come in. You got to know how to sing and worship God and get in his presence and sit in your dad's lap. Your Father God's lap. Ritual number six, the ritual of the secret place. Why? Because places were created before people. God prepared the place of the Garden of Eden before he created the people, Adam and Eve. He prepares a place before he so God sends you to a place called there. He sends you to a place. You should have a place in your house. You should have a place in your in your office or in your room or in your one of your rooms or closets where you meet with God. That's your secret place. Every day in the garden, we don't know how long, but God came down to the place in the garden to meet with Adam. And every day he wants to meet and talk with you. There is a place. There is a place where you go meet and fellowship with God. We all need think time, but we also need throne time. You need miracles and mercies happen in the secret place. Ritual number seven. I'm closing with this one. The ritual of the tithe. So many people fuss and fight over it. They get logically deduce it. They excuse it. They exempt it. Why? Because God said it's holy. Several times. It belongs to me. The law of first and the law of first fruits and the law of first things is the Lord's. In other words, based on those spiritual laws, he said, you dedicate this first to me. Law is a ritual of honor. I mean, tithing is a ritual of honor. Tithing is a ritual of honor. It's a routine that we should get excited about, and we bring it before the Lord and worship him with it. There was a deacon, I'll close with this story, and he was giving tithe out of slavish duty, and he told the pastor, he said, Pastor, I've been tithing for 13 years, and I ain't gotten anything out of it. And he said, I'm not aware of it. And he looked at this deacon, and he said, he'd been a faithful member of the church, but he had been doing it out of duty. But see, God gave instruction on how to tithe the tithe. Tithe is a ritual of honor. Tithe is an act of faith and worship before the Lord. Yeah, you worked 40, 50, 60 hours for that. 80 hours, depending on how frequently you get paid. And you work for that. But God says, bring it back to me, the first 10% of it, as an act of honor, as an act of worship. And he said, when you put it, you say something and you do something. You put it before the Lord and you say something and you worship and rejoice over it. Wonder why people have not had the flow of favor on their job as they should, because they don't rejoice and tithe the tithe like they should. So he told this deacon to do that. He said, go worship and rejoice over the tithe. He came back a month later and said, he said, Pastor, how you turn it off? Because they said, the blessings are coming fast and fierce. I can't even, I got so much business, I can't even book it in 1 month. Because he took his checkbook and it tithe checks, receipts, and he, back in the day, of course, more checks back then, people give him my checks, but, and he worshiped God, and his business went from drought and dryness to a deluge of business just flowing. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. The favor of God. The favor of God. Come on, just lift your hands and thank God for his favor. The favor of God. We all need it. You need God's assistance. You need God's help. You need God's hand on your life.